Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Good to be with you here as we look at the Word of God this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 4 there, as I put a few things away here and get ready. We will be looking at Psalm 4, David's prayer to the Lord. Just a little reminder, the book of Psalms is made up of individual sacred songs that were written over a span of 900 years. The first psalm that was written is understood to be Psalm 90 by Moses during Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, about 1445 to 1405 BC. The last psalm composed was Psalm 126 that was thought to be recorded around 500 to 430 BC. These collections of songs were written as songs of worship to the Lord and to guide believers in proper worship to God. The book of Psalms is broken up into five parts, also known as the Psalter. Some here maintain that these five books, the book of Psalms, correspond to the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Thus, the book of Psalms has also been called the Pentateuch of David because they are thought to mirror the books of the law, the Pentateuch of Moses. Psalm 4 fits in the first book of Psalms. The book 1 breaks Psalm 1 to 41. Book 2 is Psalm 42 to 72. Book 3 is 73 through 89. Book 4 is 90 through 106. And book 5 is 107 through 150. This morning we will be looking again at Psalm 4. The Lord hears and answers the righteous. Last week we had the opportunity to read through Psalm 4 in our scripture reading, and this week we'll get an opportunity to understand what Psalm 4 is actually, what David is actually praying here in Psalm 4. As we look at the Psalms, though, the preceding Psalm, Psalm 3, is said to be a prayer in the morning. And Psalm 4 is a psalm of prayer that is offered up to God in the evening. Some have said that this psalm has in mind the setting of Psalm 3 when David fled from his son Absalom. Let's read Psalm 4. It says here, "For the choir director, on the stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, our Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Again, Psalm 4, the Lord hears and answers the righteous. As you see the inscription above Psalm 4, it says it is a Psalm of David. It is to be played with a stringed instrument, possibly a harp which David played before Saul. This may have been a sentimental value for David as he remembers the faithfulness of God's protection as David played before Saul. As you remember, I'm sure you remember that David twice had to flee from the presence of Saul as he played the harp because Saul tried to kill David. So this could be partly what David is remembering. It might be partly sentimental to him, why he has the choir director sing this psalm with a stringed instrument played by the hand, most likely the harp. Our outline this morning, what we will be looking at is, we will be looking at in verse 1, David's petition to the Lord. Secondly, then, David's proclamation, verses 2 through 6, and then also David's praise, verses 7 through 8. Let's first look at David's petition. He says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness." The word for answer here in the Hebrew is an imperative, a command, a request, a plea to God to answer him. The New King James reads, "Hear me when I call, O Lord." This petition from David is based on the righteousness of God. David knows that he himself has no favor with God on his own merit. The merit or the reward of men before God is punishment of man's sin, and David understands this. Romans 3, 23 and 24. David understands that God does not act outside of his own righteousness. He cannot. God is holy, righteous, and just. Isaiah 45, 21. Also Psalms 99, 9. And if you look over to Psalm 3, verse 4, it says, "I was crying to the Lord with my voice. He answered me from his holy mountain." God is holy, righteous, and just. He is set apart. There is none like him. David knows his sin before God and that the sum of his deeds are not worthy of God's favor or his loving kindness. David knows that salvation belongs to the Lord. As believers, you and I look back to the redemption of Christ Jesus as he paid the penalty in full on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But for David, he looks forward to God's call or to God's salvation in his life. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Jeremiah 23, and we will look at this prophecy made by Jeremiah of what was to come. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 6. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And his name, which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Jeremiah is proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ, who will come and redeem sinners. David looked forward to the work of Christ on the cross. That is why David appeals in his psalm, Psalm 4, verse 1, "Answer me when I call, O God, God of my righteousness." David's petition is a plea of urgency. Lord, answer me quickly. As we have said in the opening of Psalm 4, it is linked most likely to Psalm 3. 3 is a morning psalm or a prayer, and Psalm 4 is an evening psalm. As David is getting ready for the evening, he prays to the Lord, asking the Lord to answer him out of God's righteousness. The setting of Psalm 4 truly is not known. We do not know whether God had revealed to David that God would raise up. We do know, that because of David's sin, God would raise up evil within his own family, and that his own family would cause a sword and turmoil and anguish within his own family. We do know that. 2 Samuel 12:9 tells David that David, because of his sin, will be in turmoil, and his family will be in uproar. Why? Because David had despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in God's sight. But David confessed his sin against the Lord, and God took his sin away, 2 Samuel 12:13. David, knowing his sin and the consequences of his disobedience, looks to the one and only true God and pleads for the righteousness that is promised in him in Christ Jesus. We also see the prophecy or the proclamation made in Isaiah 53, verse 11. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 11 says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities." David trusted in the righteousness of God. David could come and petition the Lord because he knew that God had forgiven him of his sin and made him righteous. And so he continues then in Psalm 4, the latter part of verse 1, "You have relieved me in my distresses. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." In the middle of David's requests, he remembers the faithfulness of the Lord. He has taken his eyes off of his own circumstances and has focused on the goodness of God to relieve him. David is up against a wall and is in a hard place, and he's asking God to relieve him of his tight situation. The word in the Hebrew is he is in an enclosed space or a tight position. And he is asking the Lord to give him some space from his distresses that he is in. He is looking at his current situation, also remembering past tense, "You have relieved me in my distresses." He knows that God has in the past answered his cry. He says in Psalm 3, verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain." In Psalm 6, verse 9, another psalm of David, David says, "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back with their, and suddenly be ashamed. The Lord has given David space. And he asks again in his time of need. David speaks to God's faithfulness to hear him and to answer him. David recalls God's relief. He continues in his prayer, "Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." David knows God's will and is watching over his life. And he continues to come before the Lord in prayer. David humbles himself to cry out to God. David moves then from his petition in verse 1 to his proclamation, verses 2 through 6. David's proclamation, the folly of sin of the sons of men. It is possible they have stumbled over David's own sin. As David's life as the king. They may be seeing it as a license to continue in their own sin. They love what is worthless, verse 2, and live a life of deception, David says. They have not trusted in God's salvation. These men love the things that have no eternal value. They deny that God is sovereign over David's life. David reminds them of the plan of God, that God has placed David as king over Israel, and he is protecting David. God hears and listens to David's call for help. God is David's protector. David calls these men then to repent in verse 4. He says, "Tremble and do not sin. Come to God with humility and understanding." Understand the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. He calls them also to meditate in their hearts upon their bed. And be still. He calls them to reflect on their life as they lay in bed at night, that they may see their sin against God and repent. He then, in verse 5, asks them to offer the sacrifice of righteousness and to trust in the Lord. He calls these sinful men to turn from their evil ways and to trust in the Lord. They are to live a life of righteousness, trusting in the Lord who is at work in them to will it to work for His good pleasure, Philippians 2:12 says, for all believers. The sacrifice of obedience are only righteousness when they or acts of devotion flowing out of a righteous relationship with God. Let me read that again. This is a quote. It says, "The sacrifices of obedience are only righteousness when they are acts of devotion flowing out of a right relationship with God." Salvation itself works obedience not to be saved, but because one is saved. Salvation that is from God brings the fruit of righteousness, a work only God can do in the heart of man. The outworking of God in a believer is seen by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This gives us the produce of God working in and through us. Galatians 2:20 says that the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, gentleness, and faithfulness. Believers must not trust in their own understanding. They must trust in God, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. For the understanding of man does not lead to the righteousness of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. David understands the salvation that is given to him by God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, speaks of the foolishness of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 2, 1 through 5. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." David understood that salvation was based on God and on God's word and not man's own understanding. Man focuses on the short-sightedness of the world. David asks the Lord to bring the goodness to bear upon their hearts. As we turn back to Psalm 4, and we will see that later on in the Psalms. But he says to them, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord." David calls them to repentance. He calls them to turn from their wicked ways, from following after the things of the world, and to be obedient to God and to trust in the Lord. He reminds them in verse 6 that many are saying, "Who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord." David asks the Lord to reveal to them His goodness. David understands the goodness of the Lord. Not only has God forgiven David of his sins, but He also continues to protect and watch over David in his life. God Himself is the one who brings about the attitude of gratitude for God's goodness. As we see here in the Psalms, David ends in verses 7 and 8 with a praise. David recalls God's goodness to him. Verse 7, he says, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound." For Israel, the abundance of grain and fresh wine was an understanding that life was good and was secure. And I think that is true for us. We know that we have a refrigerator full of food, and We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We understand God's provision. David understands here that the gladness that he has been given is more than what the world sees as plenty or God's provision. He says that God had put gladness in his heart more than when their new grain, or excuse me, when grain and their new wine has abounded. How has God done that to David? God has done that to David by revealing to him his faithfulness. Not only his faithfulness in his own life, but also his faithfulness to preserve David for eternity. David rested in the goodness of his God. David understood that his own works were not saving him, but rather it was the goodness of God to redeem him. David goes on to say, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." David rests in the goodness of God. God had put gladness in his heart, even when he was fleeing from his enemy. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 33 through 28, kind of give us an understanding of the grain and new wine abounding. Deuteronomy 33:28, starting with verse 27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He drove out the enemy from before you and said, "Destroy." So Israel dwells in security, the fountain of Jacob secluded in the land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. You see, God was the one who had delivered Israel's enemies. God was the one who had removed other nations so that Israel could come into the promised land. And remember, God had told Joshua as he went into the promised land that if Joshua was to obey the Lord his God, that God would be with him and that he would remove their enemies from them. And we see throughout the book of Scripture or the Bible here that Israel did not listen to their God and they did not honor him. And it brought the reproach of other nations upon him or upon Israel. David is reminding these men in his prayer that the joy that God has given him is more than when God has put his enemies to rest and has given them the plenty of the land. In Psalm 4, David says in verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." David understands the sovereign rule of the Lord his God, to protect and keep him as he is chosen for the day of redemption. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. And that is for all believers who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is fitting that David would close his prayer in praise to the sovereign Lord, his God, because of God's gracious guidance and protection. In Psalm 7:17, David also writes, "I will give thanks to the God according to his righteousness. According to his righteousness, I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High." You see, as David comes to the Lord in prayer, he remembers that God is the one who rewards the righteous. But not only does he reward the righteous, but he is the one who gives righteousness to man. Man does not receive righteousness from his own merit. It is by the loving kindness of the Lord. So we have seen this morning David's petition as he calls out to the Lord. Secondly, then his proclamation to call those who do not know him, who do not know the Lord, to repent and trust in the Lord. And then also he closes his psalm or his prayer in praise, remembering the goodness of his God and the joy that God brings him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the example given to us through Psalm 4. As David humbly continues to cry out to you in his time of need, reminding himself of your righteousness and of your goodness and the salvation that is from you. We ask, Lord God, that you would remind us, Lord, also of your goodness and of your love. And may we continue to come humbly before you in prayer when we are in distress, trusting that, Lord God, you are the author of our salvation. You are the one who is sovereignly in control of all things. Nothing takes you by surprise. May we be humble to come before you and cry out to you and give you praise for your goodness and for your love and for your comfort. Lord, we thank you for the example of David as how he reminds us, Lord God, to focus our minds upon you. Lord, may you be glorified as we seek to honor you and to worship you all the days that you give us. We thank you, Father God, for this morning. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord God, that you be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.